I think it leads us to a question that was asked of me last night. Exactly what is forbearance? I think these features of Christ seen in you and I help me. What does forbearing one another mean? I don't know whether you've noticed the way Tony parts his hair, but you know, it's not exactly like I do mine. And then I look over and I see Emil, and his part is all the way across the top, and it goes this way instead of this way. We understand what we're saying. There are things, young people, there are things that don't matter. There are things that are not a test of fellowship in your life and mine, in our relationship with one another. Satan wants to bring them in. He wants me to go over and say to Emil, Emil, your hair needs to be like mine is, thick and wavy, you see. These are funny examples, but they, when you get to the root and see what kind of things cause problems amongst brethren, you are amazed. How in the world can they be having a difficulty over something like that? I'll give you another example now that is on the serious side. You're going to go to meetings where after the emblems are passed, as we do here, the box for the offerings are passed around. You will go to other meetings, in fact, where at the end of the meeting, the offering is passed around. You will go to some meetings where, in fact, there's a white tablecloth on a table and the emblems are put on it. You will go to other meetings where they are placed on a table without a tablecloth. Brethren, does it matter? This is where we need to come in our Christian life, that there are people that see things a bit differently than I see them. And the tendency of my heart, naturally speaking, is, look, you need to get in line because you're not doing what I think is right. No. Somebody's reading from a translation that I don't particularly care for. Well, that's all right. He's allowed to do that. She's allowed to do that. We forbear with one another. We allow things to go on without making an issue of them. And if we don't do that, then we come to the next part. We come to the part where somebody has said something and they can't take it back. They've hurt somebody, they've isolated somebody, and there now we have a quarrel. Let us take these verses. Tony took us down to above all these things. The belt that Emil has had. The love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. And so we show that to our brethren. And we make them to realize that, no, I'm not going to make an issue over this thing. Or I look and see, well, this issue that I'm pushing for could cause great trouble in my local assembly. Let me lay it aside. I'm going to give you a personal example. And I hate to give a personal example, but I'm going to. I have a class ring. It's a class ring that I got when I graduated from school. I like to wear it. But when I went to a country this year, a brother reminded me, dear brother, you will be the only one there with that on your finger this year. That's all he said. I couldn't wait to take it off. I don't want to offend people by what I do. Here it is. Let's just get rid of that. The example is given of Mr. Darby, that he had a pair of gold glasses. Do you know they were given to him by a sister? But somebody was offended by them. And they said something. He was never seen with them on again. This is the kind of sensitive hearts that the Lord would have. Number one, we forbear. Number two, we're peacemakers. We're peacemakers. We seek peace and we pursue it. And we help our brethren. And don't think for a moment, younger brethren, that your older brethren in the assembly don't need help with this. They do. They need you. They need you in the prayer meeting. They need you in the Bible study, young brothers and sisters. They need you in the ministry meeting. We just need to emphasize that more and more, that it's not older ones and younger ones and we're all separated. In your meeting, your brothers and sisters need you there. Your gift that you have been given, young brothers, it needs to be exercised in that local meeting. It's not a gift of the brethren. It is a gift from Christ. And above all these things then, love helps us to maintain that balance.
Also to add to that, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 8, verses 12 and 13. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble.
Just want to give you one word that will help in verse 14, where we read in our Bibles here, which is the bond of perfectness. It's not language we typically would use today. And what the brethren have been speaking of here is harmony. It's the bond, it's love, that belt that harmonizes us together. When we think of harmony and we think of a choir, for example, there are different, what do you call them? Soprano, alto, tenor, whatever. And there's many different voices. But they're all together, different, but in harmony one with another to present what? One theme. The theme of that hymn that is bringing glory to Christ. And so that's really what this is doing here. That love is that they're binding together in harmony to make one.
I just want to also... I was turning to that very verse, the bond. What is a bond? When my wife bakes a loaf of bread, I don't know what all she puts in it. I know there's flour and butter and oil, and there's all kinds of things that go into that mix before she puts it into the oven. But what holds it all together? That's the bond. That's the bond. It's what the Spirit of God uses to keep all of these other elements together to make a whole. So it is the bond of perfectness or completion.